From the Police Show, yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor, 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Wednesday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all the great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS, number to jump on in, 855-212-4227. You can always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. That's Z-A-C-H-G-E-L-B. Daniel Jeremiah is going to join us, talk a little NFL draft coming up at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Assistant coach for the Princeton men's basketball team, Brett McConnell, going to swing by in the final hour, along with a little QB carousel today featuring the Denver Broncos, the man that won a Super Bowl championship with the franchise in Tyler Palumbus. But first up, producing the extravaganza for the next 4 hours is no other than Hot Take Hickey.
Hot Take Hickey.
So let's start the show, and I think Hickey and I have this unique ability where we say one thing the day before, and then like the next day, something else happens that elicits an entirely different response. And when I look at the World Baseball Classic, you heard us in the final hour of the show last night, like, I don't care. It does not resonate with me. I do not really care who wins or lose the World Baseball Classic. And from an entertainment standpoint, it never made me say, wow, I need to go out of my way to watch. And I get home last night, and I turn on the TV, and I see people buzzing about the World Baseball Classic, and it's going into the final inning. United States is down a run to Japan. So I go, okay, I'll flip it on. And when I did turn it on, I will say it was pretty entertaining for one reason and one reason only. It was Shohei Ohtani pitching to Mike Trout, where you could argue those are the two best players in the sport, and you have them on the same team. And what made me laugh about it is you have an Angels organization that has only made the postseason one time with an all-time great player in Mike Trout, and he played in three lousy playoff games where they got swept by the Boston Red Sox. And then you have Shohei Ohtani for the last few years who has taken the sport by storm. He is the biggest star in the game. He does things that no one has ever seen because no one was alive when Babe Ruth was playing baseball. Like, that is how great Shohei Ohtani is. And you have those two guys where Ohtani gets the best of Mike Trout and gets him to strike out swinging. And I'm watching that, and you see the joy from Team Japan, and you also see the frustration and how upset the United States were, and it kind of resonated with me. Like, maybe this is a bigger idea, a bigger deal than what I have been giving it, kind of looking at it the last week, 2 weeks, whatever it's been. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not sitting here today telling you, you got to watch the World Baseball Classic. Like, I'm not sitting here saying, all right, I got my pom-poms in the air screaming, USA, 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 the next time they're in the World Baseball Classic. And the timing of it, I don't love it. I don't think you could really move it because players aren't going to give up their offseason for this and they don't like to go to spring training, and you could rally around, right, country pride and all of that, and it probably is a bigger deal, and it is a bigger deal outside the United States. But it was funny and entertaining to me just with that matchup of two teammates, two of the best players in the sport going up against one another on the same team. And Hickey, I kept on seeing that. And when I went back and just kept on looking at the replay, the only thing I could think of is just how much of a failure the Angels have been, where they've only got to the postseason once with Trout and have never got to the postseason, which, by the way, they've added an extra postseason spot. So now you get, you know, more than what you had before getting into the postseason. The COVID year, weren't there three extra playoff teams as well? And the Angels haven't been able to get into the postseason with Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout. And that's such a failure. And it's such a shame because all the time we argue, how do you make baseball better? And people go, oh, you got to increase the pace of play and you got to do this and you got to do that. I need stars and I need to see the personalities of those stars and I need to see those stars in the biggest moments. And for Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout, it's crazy. Their biggest moment on the biggest stage has been the World Baseball Classic. Trout played in three very quick playoff games. Ohtani, we have seen him dominate the sport, and I understand his importance. But could you imagine, and I know Ohtani's going to be a free agent at the end of the year, so maybe he gets traded at the deadline, but can you imagine the Angels are actually good this year? And you go into a postseason with a healthy Shohei Ohtani and a healthy Mike Trout. Like, remember a few years ago when the Nationals won the World Series? I think Juan Soto actually turned 21, if memory serves me right, in that World Series. And we got to see a young star who we knew about, right? And you know how good he was. You see a young star dominate like that in that moment. And even a guy like Bryce Harper, we've seen ever since he was in high school, right? At least, even though he's never won a World Series, he's consistently been in the postseason. And I think it's important when you have your biggest stars in a sport that has an identity problem, and Mike Trout could walk down the street in New York City and he could blend in with everybody else. It is a problem to me where you don't get these guys in the postseason. And that's a shame of it. So it was weird. Like last night when I'm watching this, Hickey, I'm saying to myself, wow, this is actually cooler than what I thought. And a lot of it had to do with the matchup, not USA against Japan, but just that it was Ohtani against Trout. Potentially, it ended up being the last batter to either extend the World Baseball Classic or have it end. And I thought that was so unique and so different and so cool. But even in those thoughts of elation, it was also my thoughts of frustration and disappointment that the Angels are wasting Mike Trout's career. Well, they wasted it. Let's use it in the past tense. And they have been wasting, even though he's been brilliant, the great career that we've seen so far of Shohei Ohtani. And it just stinks. Like, you look at the last 2 years, you've had a healthy Ohtani with how dominant he's been in two different parts of the sport, at the plate and on the mound. And we have not seen Shohei Ohtani, who finished first in the MVP and won the MVP in 2021, and then finished second behind Aaron Judge last year. We haven't seen that guy in the postseason with, oh yeah, by the way, I know he's been hurt, but you do have Mike Trout, who they've wasted his career for the last 10 years. So, Hickey, I don't know how you took it, and I know yesterday and last week, and we were annoyed with the whole Edwin Diaz thing, we were both kind of dumping on the World Baseball Classic. I did think last night was a good night for baseball. It was cool for the baseball fan, but it also just left me with this thought of just disgust with the Angels organization for what they're robbing of us of seeing two great stars get into the postseason and potentially have their biggest moments come when everyone's watching, and that would be the biggest impact, and that could lead to the biggest impact when we talk about growing the game of Major League Baseball.
The moment was cool. Again, you get to see two great teammates and arguably two of the best players, the two best players, or two of the three best players right now in the sport go against each other, which in literally any other circumstance you would never see happen, which was awesome to see. Not a shock Mike Trout could not come up clutch because the guy's not seen a clutch opportunity since a decade ago. And now, again, they didn't even win a playoff game, so you can't blame the guy for getting no opportunities to come up clutch or not come up clutch when he had an opportunity to do it. But I think it also goes to show you, too, like, look, not making excuses for the Angels. We banged on yesterday, rightfully so. Winning in baseball is hard, man. It might be the hardest championship to win because it's truly a team sport. The best player in every other sport has won a championship, except baseball. The best player in every other sport is in the playoffs regularly, except baseball. It's tough. And again, this is not to bail the Angels out because they have screwed this up when you have Mike Trout. And then you basically have
all of a sudden?
Twice, basically two different times, you have the best player in baseball on your team, and now Trout and Ohtani at the same time. I'm just saying is it's crazy that you have these two guys be on the team at the same time, and the Angels are not even competitive. Like, forget about not winning playoff series or not winning a championship. They are not even competitive. It's pathetic.
And did you see the stat, too, how rare it was last night? And I saw this stat go viral that Mike Trout has had 3 swinging strikes in only 24 of his 6,174 career MLB plate appearances. That's wild. When you talk about how unique of a moment it is last night and how rare of a moment it is last night, and then you have him going down like that, that just adds on to the story.
Now, Ohtani dominated him.
He did.
That was incredible.
How do they... Let me ask you this. Is that awkward when they go back into the same clubhouse?
For Ohtani, no. For Trout, you got to be,
that's
you know,
what I'm saying.
Oh, man. You got me. Like, it was... Blew away 100-mile-an-hour fastball, slider to finish it to win a championship. Yeah, I think if you're Shohei, you're kind of puffing the chest out a little bit. This is my team now.
Because Trout was, like, when he struck out, when he was walking back to the dugout, and this is when it really, like, did kind of settle in that maybe this is a bigger deal than what I think it is. Trout looked like he was seeing ghosts. He really, like, he looked so white going back to that dugout. He looked as if he just saw a ghost. And now that guy, Ohtani, who is your teammate, you got to go see him back in spring training. That tells me how big of a deal it actually is with their first encounter and how much Trout is still actually thinking about striking out in the World Baseball Classic. But can the two of them not only work together but get the entire team to rise up with the Angels this year and just get into the playoffs, even if it's in that... the wild card round, and you see them go through like what the Mets did last year in that best of 3 series against the Padres. Now, even if it's just that, I want to see those guys because they're the two best players in the sport. I want to see them in the postseason. I'm not asking for much. I'm not saying go win a World Series. And you're not wrong. It probably is the toughest championship to win. You know, basketball, go team up with your friends and don't have Kyrie Irving ruin it and you'll win a championship. You look at the NFL, we've seen so many teams be down and out and then find a way 2-3 years later to go from down and out to winning a championship. Hockey's incredibly tough. It is just because hockey's the one that rivals it because how many times do we see the team that has the most points in the league or a team that wins their division just go down in the first round? So hockey's the toughest one, but baseball... I think the reason why it's the toughest is because of how long the season is. We're talking about 162 games. And look at the Edwin Diaz injury that happened in the World Baseball Classic. You got to be healthy all throughout the year. And if your bat just go cold in a series, then you guys are screwed. You're donezo and you're going home. So I would agree with you that probably baseball is the toughest to win. Stanley Cup and hockey is right there as well. But that's a good point that you made. Now, when we get into the biggest stars in each sport, because for Major League Baseball, you would agree, right? It's Ohtani. Like, I don't even think that's debatable at this point.
Yes.
So who's the second biggest star? I'm not saying who's the second best player. That doesn't mean it this way. Just the guy that obviously has elite talent, but also... from a marketing standpoint, everyone gravitates around, and there's a lot of buzz around that player.
Aaron Judge.
Yeah, I think that's tough to debate because you look at Aaron Judge, he's just an enormous human being.
People know who Aaron Judge is, which that is most of the battle now with baseball. It's basically who's the biggest star? Who could people recognize? Shohei, it's Aaron Judge.
I would agree. It's Ohtani 1, Judge 2. Basketball. It's still LeBron James is the biggest star of the sport. Who is then the second? I think this is probably the toughest one out of all the sports.
Agreed. I still will go with Steph Curry.
I agree.
My only hesitation is a little bit with the injuries where he's missed a lot of time, but he is coming off a championship. Him and Giannis are close, but I would give Steph the edge right now.
And also, Steph gives everyone hope with, even though it's not realistic to think you're going to be Steph Curry, but when you're in the gym now, how many kids do you see just jacking up threes because they could relate to Steph Curry because he's not like 7 feet tall. And, you know, he's not you when you look at Steph Curry, you would never have thought just looking at him that this dude's one of the baddest people on the planet when it comes to basketball.
I mean, he literally changed the game and how it's played. Like, he literally came to the NBA and now has transformed the league into, forget about big men. Now it's, can you shoot the three? Can you run out? And now it's an explosive offense.
And I think Giannis is in that conversation for down the road. And also Kevin Durant, I think, is in that conversation as well. I just don't know how likable Kevin Durant is anymore. Because he went to Golden State, and he was tremendous, but people didn't love the way that he went about it. Then he went to Brooklyn, and that was just a disaster. And now if he goes to Phoenix, isn't it kind of the same feel? I know that they didn't already win a championship, but it does feel similar to the way that he went to Golden State, which a lot of people get caught up in.
That's why I feel like it's, like, skill-wise, yes.
Great player.
The team switching, also too, the injuries. Like, you look, starting with the finals in Golden State, and you tear his Achilles, or he tears his Achilles, missed the entire year, the Nets' entire tenure, he was on and off the court. Now, even when we're seeing with the Suns, he twists an ankle in the first home game. He hasn't played in a month. So, also too, it's tough because he's not on the court that much recently.
Hockey, Connor McDavid, he's the biggest star in the sport. Who's number two?
This might be controversial. I think it's Alexander Ovechkin.
Okay.
Because he's chasing history. He's someone who's scoring a lot of goals.
And about to break a record that no one thought would ever be broken with most goals in the history of the league with Wayne Gretzky. Now, if you take away all of Gretzky's goals, he still has the most points in the history of the NHL, which is
incredible.
Just bonkers. I would still say it's Crosby. Because Crosby has done everything you can in the sport. And he's had so many clutch moments, whether it's individual awards, Stanley Cups, and then also gold medals as well. I would still say it's Sidney Crosby. NFL, it's Mahomes 1. Who is 2? I think this one's tough as well.
This one is very tough.
Because you naturally gravitate to a quarterback.
Yes. I mean, you talk about faces, probably the first three, four, five faces the NFL, right, are quarterbacks.
And Brady's now out.
Right. I would say Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, I said Joe Burrow.
Just with Rodgers, he's someone who... Everybody knows, because part because of his offseason drama, everyone's talking about Aaron Rodgers every year, whether it's in September when he's playing or in March when he's not playing.
Now, if it wasn't a quarterback, if you go biggest star, not quarterback, who would you then go with? Because two names come to mind. One's a defensive player, and then there's two on the offensive side of the ball that actually come to mind. So three total names if we went non-quarterbacks.
I got to think. You go first. That's an interesting
defensively,
one.
Defensively, I know he did not play well this year because he was hurt. But Aaron Donald, I would say, is the defensive name. Offensively, Justin Jefferson and Derrick Henry. I would say, especially what they've done in fantasy football-wise, which is a part of this too, I would say if it's not a quarterback, Justin Jefferson with the gritty and all that, and his play on the field has been a stud. And then Derrick Henry's just a force to be reckoned with.
This is tough. Man, I don't know. I kind of want to go with someone like Travis Kelce, who has personality.
Kelsey's a good one.
Like, star for non-quarterbacks is really tough because who are we talking about? Like, Ezekiel Elliott, I think, is still a star. Now, he's not the first name I would talk about. That's a name that resonates.
Oh, I don't think he's a star anymore.
That's a name that resonates still, I think, well within the NFL.
I think he's been embarrassed the last two years, right?
It's not about play. It's about
name recognition.
But he's fallen off
too much. He's fallen off too much on the individual talent.
I don't agree with that, but I think if you're talking about name recognition, that's still a name that everybody knows, everyone's still talking about.
Not more than Derrick Henry, though.
Like, are people talking about Derrick Henry?
Yes!
He's on the trade block. No one's talking about him. We mentioned it once, like a month ago. We haven't talked about it since.
Well, because people don't actually think he's going to get traded.
I don't know. That's just...
People have refuted that.
I mean, we've talked about four or five months about Aaron Rodgers the last 2 years. Is he going to get traded or not?
Well, it's you can't compare it to a quarterback because you know quarterbacks win that conversation.
That's my counter to Derrick Henry being a star.
All right, we get to golf. It's still Tiger. Who's then the next name in golf? I have one that I think you can't even debate.
I would say Jordan Spieth. Either love him or you hate him. That's a guy that everyone is talking about.
And I dislike Spieth, and I think that's an unpopular opinion. I would still say it's Rory McIlroy. You got to remember, with LIV Golf, Rory McIlroy, even though no one really cares about LIV Golf anymore, he was basically the spokesperson and gave the middle finger to anyone that went to LIV Golf. So that's why I put Rory McIlroy in as the second biggest name. It was Phil, but has anyone ever heard from Phil since he went to LIV Golf after that immediately happened?
DJ Brooks, Koepka, that's a thing. Like, you take away some big names in golf because they went to LIV and now they're irrelevant.
Outside of that Netflix show, you don't really hear from those guys. You don't. DeChambeau was someone that was a big name and he was polarizing, but you don't really hear from those guys.
Out of sight, out of mind.
Mm-hmm. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We'll take a break. Today was the C.J. Stroud Pro Day. 11, is that right? I was losing count. Once you get into double digits, my math is not that good. But 11 representatives from the Carolina Panthers showed up at C.J. Stroud Pro Day. Does it mean anything? We discuss next.
Planning a wedding can be intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Indochino makes it easy to get a fully customized suit right from home. With dozens of high thread count fabrics, patterns, and colors to choose from, Indochino lets you fine-tune every detail and design a suit tailored perfectly to your body and your personality. Set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website and choose fabric and customizations without leaving the house. Or book a showroom appointment and let Indochino's dedicated style guides help you and your wedding party look flawless for the big day. Their experts have been dressing grooms and groomsmen since 2007. And with suits starting at just $4.99 and fitted shirts at $89, Indochino is bespoke without the premium price tag. Get a wedding suit as unique as you with Indochino. Go to Indochino.com and use code PODCAST to get 10% off any purchase of $3.99 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code PODCAST.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Can always hit us up on social media at Zach Gelb. And we were having a conversation earlier, biggest stars in sports after what Ohtani did last night. And when we got to the NFL, I said Mahomes, also said Joe Burrow, Hickey said Aaron Rodgers. And then we started to do non-quarterbacks. And I suggested Aaron Donald, Justin Jefferson, and King Henry. And Hickey, because he doesn't like Derrick Henry, was like, oh, is he really a star? And I was like, absolutely. Well, Mr. Boomer 187 on Twitter says, you know, hot take Hickey isn't giving King Henry no props. Dude owns his sorry ass Colts. He hopes Henry doesn't get traded so they actually have a chance this year to win versus him. I do think part of you wants to see Derrick Henry stay with Tennessee because Tennessee this year is vulnerable with how last year ended. And it's kind of the Jaguars. It is the Jaguars division to lose this year. I think in your little twisted brain that you have, where you've built up that the Titans aren't good and the Colts are so much better than them, that now it seems a little bit more reasonable than ever before because both those teams kind of feel like they're just going nowhere this year.
I hope with all my heart Derrick Henry stays this year. And you know what? I hope the Titans beat the Colts twice this year. I have changed or already moved on from Bryce Young. And I have my new franchise quarterback.
Timeout. Don't say.
I will not say a word, but I have my plan and my course of action now going forward.
Because regardless of who goes 1-2, it appears pretty damn clear that it's going to be Bryce Young, CJ Stroud 1-2. You don't want Anthony Richardson. You don't want Will Levis. Let me ask you this, because I know who you want. You want Bryce Young. You're not getting him. If let's just say Thomas Davis is right, where he threw that out the NFL Network, the former Carolina Panther, that he's hearing that people upstairs are enamored with Anthony Richardson. Now, let me be clear. I do not expect Anthony Richardson to be the number one overall pick in the draft. But let's just say he's right. Richardson goes 1, Bryce Young goes 2. Is the plan that you're going to put in place still in place if the Colts could get C.J. Stroud at 4. Just send me yes or no.
No.
Oh, would it be in place?
No, sir. Anthony Richardson going one or two changes my entire plan.
So you would want C.J. Stroud if he's available at four?
Yes, and I would give him...
Wow, we've made progress here.
I will give him an opportunity. Again, I'm not going to be celebrating like I would for Bryce Young. I would absolutely not be buying a number seven Colts jersey, that's for sure.
Folks.
But I would give him a... I said this before. Folks, I would root for him if they drafted him.
This is a month out from the draft. If the Colts, which they're not going to... If they somehow get C.J. Stroud, which they're not, so it's kind of a relevant conversation... I know Hickey better than most. Hickey will start with, he's the franchise savior. I love him.
No.
He's going to be great.
No.
Oh, come on.
I guarantee that will not happen.
You were the same person that said you wanted no part of Carson Wentz, and then they trade for Carson Wentz, and you were throwing a parade.
Well, that was, again, more belief in Frank Reich than it was in Carson Wentz, that he would get him to play better.
Spin
he did
zone.
Not. C.J. Stroud, again, I have gone from don't want him to I will give
now
him a
chance.
Now
you're begging for him.
Again. Yes, right. Honestly, yes. So the four quarterbacks, assuming Bryce Young is not going to be there, and I would agree he's not going to be there, C.J. Stroud would be the best case scenario for the Colts. I don't think he's likely to be there at three or four.
Okay. So what is your plan, assuming Young and Stroud, which is a good assumption, are not going to Indianapolis?
Here is my plan going forward. It is the Arizona Cardinals plan. At pick four, you take Anthony Richardson. You see what the hell happens this year. You start Gardner Minshew for 10, 12, 17 games. You see how Richardson develops in practice. They're going to suck. The Colts are going to be very bad next year, especially if Gardner Minshew starts all 17 games. Gardner Minshew helped get the Jaguars, mind you, in 2020, to the first overall pick to help get him Trevor Lawrence.
Here we go. Caleb Williams.
If that plan comes to fruition and the Colts are sitting there at pick one or two, absolutely, you take a quarterback and say, see you later, Anthony Richardson. I'm taking Caleb Williams, no doubt about it.
Or Drake May.
Or Drake May. Although Caleb Williams, to me, is number one by far. But I do not like and I do not endorse a full-season tank. I don't think going all in for Caleb Williams is something that is going to work in your favor. We saw with the Jets when they tried to tank for Trevor Lawrence. It did not work. You win one too many games. Just one, it screws everything up.
I have a problem with your
theory,
though. So
you have Anthony Richardson waiting in the wings in case, if you're the Colts, you are sitting there at pick three or four and cannot get Caleb Williams or Drake May, and you still have an opportunity to salvage going forward and see what Anthony Richardson can be under Shane Steichen.
But why draft Anthony Richardson? Because Anthony Richardson, from everything you hear, maybe could sit for 2 years. Are you saying that you throw him in for like the final 4 or 5 weeks of the season if you guys are that dreadful?
I don't know.
With dog crap around him?
You see how he develops in practice. I trust Shane Steichen, who has done a great job with any quarterback he's been with, to see what he can get. And again, I think you evaluate this time next year where you are in the draft because, again, if you have no quarterback options and you're sitting there pick three, I guarantee you, whoever's sitting there one and two is not trading out.
You are a
piece of
work.
So you are not getting Drake May. You're not getting Caleb Williams. So in case that happens, you still have a fallback plan of, okay, kind of like Trey Lance a few years ago, we have this guy waiting in the wings. Let's see what he can be. And then best case scenario, you're sitting there pick one. Caleb Williams is coming to Indy. He is the true savior. And you say, Anthony Richardson, here you go. Just like, you know, and we start get
help.
The bidding working. What do you mean I need help?
You need help.
Trade him like they did for Josh Rosen round pick.
You need help. Here's why. Because in the Hickey line of thinking, for 2.5 months, all we heard, Bryce Young no matter what, Bryce Young no matter what. And when I tried to just politely explain to him that there is a good chance you're not going to be able to get Bryce Young, nope, you don't know what you're talking about. It's not going to happen. And then when I would throw out a name, C.J. Stroud, nah, I don't want him. Then when I would throw out Anthony Richardson or Will Levis, nah, I don't want him. The only name that you've remained firm on not wanting is Will Levis. A few moments ago, you're saying, okay, you're hoping now C.J. Stroud's available, but being realistic, he probably won't be. And now the guy that you don't want in Anthony Richardson, you're advocating bringing him in at the fourth overall pick, potentially have him play like 4 or 5 games this year. Then after that, trading him for, I don't know, like a second round pick or whatever you would get back. And then drafting your next guy. You are a hamster spinning in a
wheel. Exactly what the Cardinals did. You get Josh Rosen. You sucked it up. And all of a sudden you got Kyler Murray. Not that Kyler Murray is the guy that I am in love with. But you see how much better the Cardinals are with Kyler Murray compared to when they had Josh Rosen.
Why wouldn't you, though, just take Will Anderson or Jalen Carter or whoever in that spot, a non-quarterback? You guys are going to be bad, and then do what you failed to do this year. If you're not in the first two picks, then throw the kitchen sink and go trade up learn from this year.
I need options. Well, no one's going to trade up next year. If these
Why
two
not?
Quarterbacks
you don't know
and Drake
be
May
one and
Caleb
two.
Williams.
What happens if they don't need a quarterback?
if they are as generationally talented as people are saying, whoever that team's quarterback is, they're going to trade him.
Well, I'm just saying, what happens if Kyler Murray comes back, plays well in like the four games that he comes back in the second half of the season? They keep him, but they have the number one overall pick because they're that bad.
I would bet you the Cardinals would take Caleb Williams, and they would trade Kyler Murray.
Could you imagine that? You go from Rosen to Murray.
To Caleb Williams in a three-year stretch. But I don't want the Colts sitting there empty-handed at pick three with no other quarterback you like at number three, no other option outside of right now Sam Ehlinger on the roster to even look towards. That is the best of both worlds. You have a backup plan, break glass in case of emergency, and Anthony Richardson to see how he progresses in year number one. And if, again, the plan next year in 2024 doesn't work out, you have then a fallback option in Anthony Richardson.
Have you pitched this on your Colts podcast yet?
It came to my mind, yes, as we're doing the podcast the other day. That's
correct.
Did
you say it on the podcast?
Yes.
Though?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
The Cardinals plan. TM.
I felt like you were pitching me material as if a comedian would say jokes to his friends and then just see if you would use them on another outlet.
This is the second run through, if you will.
Gotcha. You know what's going to happen.
By the way, George is not opposed to it. He kind of likes it. Although he likes Hendon Hooker, so he's more, you know,
can I ask you a serious
second round
question?
Pick, but we were both on the Cardinals plan team.
I don't know much about George, but George seems like a very nice guy. Does he ever vehemently disagree with whatever you say? Has there been a moment where he has disagreed with you?
There has been. Vehemently, the answer is no.
Is it one of those I love you but type of things when he disagrees with you?
No. George is a sensible man, so he can see both sides. So that's why he could see the logic in what
I was
saying. I
feel like the relationship here is George is the therapist. And you're the patient here. And you just spew all your Colts takes, and George just tries to tell you how you got to kind of navigate through all these problems.
That's fair, yeah. And you've seen how the last few years have gone. That's all we Colts fans need, a lot of therapy.
And you used to go to me with your problems, but then I would just kind of throw it back and be polarizing and kind of laugh at your problems with the Colts, so then you went to a better therapist. That's what you ended up doing. Now, I will say this. I use a lot of one wishes when it goes against the Colts. So I'll make another wish here. I kind of hope that we see the first three picks somehow be quarterbacks of the Cardinals trade, and it's in whatever order, Young, Stroud, and then you do see Richardson go off the board, to then finally see you come around on Will Levis and be like, all right, take Will Levis at the fourth pick. If he doesn't work out, then you trade him a year from now, and you go get Caleb Williams or Drake May. I hope we go through all these quarterbacks.
And
I
hope we're sitting here this time next year in 2024 with the Colts having the number one overall pick, and I'll be looking at a nice blue 13 Colts jersey.
Gotcha.
Williams on the back.
You need help.
C. Williams.
Okay. you really need help.
I mean, I'm adjusting with the times. I gave up on Bryce Young. I thought you should be happy about that, and now I've moved on.
Yeah.
Like a scorned lover, I have moved on from the ex, and now I see.
What's the percentage of you guys have Caleb Williams next year? Just wondering. Is it 100 right now in your
not 100. It's lesser than it was with Bryce Young, but not by much.
Like, number, please?
I mean, 35% at this point.
That's pretty high to start right now.
We're so far away, but this team's not going to be very good.
Jeez. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come on back. We will chat about C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young, two quarterbacks that will not be on the Indianapolis Colts next year. One of them will be with the Carolina Panthers. Who should it be? We will discuss when we return in 5 minutes.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Daniel Jeremiah going to be stopping by at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. We will pester him with some NFL draft questions, talk a lot of prospects, talk a lot of quarterbacks, Dalton Kincaid, the tight end out of Utah, Jalen Carter from Georgia, Will Anderson from Alabama. We will do a lot of NFL draft conversation with, I think he's now the preeminent NFL draft expert. Would you agree with that? NFL draft analyst?
Now, I'm laughing just because of not how I think of myself, but how you think of me. I would agree, because Todd McShay and Mel Kiper feel too hot takey for me.
Wow.
They throw a set effect. They try to go for the headlines. They say some big things. Their rankings change all the time. Daniel Jeremiah watches what he watches.
And it takes one to know one. You would know one.
And says what he believes. No, I do not. I have no idea what a hot take, how that is created. How you go about making one.
Mm-hmm.
But if I had to guess, I would say Mel Kiper, Todd McShay, both in that category, compared to DJ, who does, I think, tell it how it is.
Well, the people are talking about you after your latest theory. James Copeland on Twitter says, please, please, please share whatever Hickey is smoking. He has to be high. When he's throwing out the Colts taking Richardson at 4, a year from now trading him, and then selecting Caleb Williams with the number one overall pick. You've been hanging out with Ayahuasca Aaron lately? Or have you been getting yelled at by Stephen A. Smith to stay off the weed?
How is that crazy?
It's a
The Cardinals just did it. I'm not sitting here saying...
Not intentionally, though.
Well, that's how it played out. And again, this could not be intentional. It depends on how Anthony Richardson progresses. Maybe the Colts are better than I think. And again, you're not in a situation where you can get...
it's a waste of a pick.
Caleb Williams. I'd rather waste a pick and get the right quarterback than sit here, play with my thumbs, and hope things break my way. The Eagles, when they drafted Jalen Hurts, what do you all say? Wasted pick. Too early. Guess what? Now he's the guy. Unforeseen circumstances. It worked out pretty well. I'll waste a fourth overall pick if it means getting Caleb Williams next year.
Maybe we should tweet Jim Irsay, and I'll just tweet him and say, you won't hire Hot Take Hickey to be your next GM, because then I feel like he's a guy, when you tell him he won't do something, he ends up doing it. And then we could see you be the worst GM in the history of the NFL.
Well, I could. I will say, if I'm hired, let's say, tomorrow, my first order of business would be the Saints Hall for Ricky Williams and give that to the Panthers and see if I can get to number one. You know, keep the Bryce Young hopes alive.
But here's the tricky thing.
First, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh.
Let me ask you this. Would you rather have Caleb Williams or Bryce Young?
Wow.
I'm just asking.
Wow.
I'm just asking.
In a vacuum, I would probably say Caleb Williams.
Would you rather have Drake May or Bryce Young?
Bryce Young.
Okay. So, wouldn't you rather then just wait next year to give up that haul and still get the fourth overall pick in the draft, which will be the second best non-quarterback in the draft when you're picking this year? Like, that to me makes more sense if you were going to do that.
I just don't think that whoever's 1 and 2 is going to trade out next year. That's my thing. If you talk about how great these quarterbacks are, who's going to trade out even if you have a quarterback?
By the way, you know what's going to happen, too. If you became the Colts GM, well, first off, you make me the team play-by-play voice. They could use
absolutely
an upgrade
not.
There.
No
absolutely.
Way. No.
You need me to hold
way.
Your hand. You saw what happened with Penn
no
State basketball.
Way.
I held your hand. I led them to
you
victory.
Are coming
then I let you walk free.
Near.
And guess what? Your team lost.
Beautiful
and not only your team
Indianapolis.
Lost. They lost your coach. You lost your coach now.
You
run that program
the
into the ground.
To keep you out. That is the first thing I would do.
They do got good fried calamari.
Here we go.
They do?
No, sorry.
The
no
one time
Saint
I was at
for
the J.W. Marriott,
your
I forget the name of the restaurant, but it was good.
With a big circle and a line through it at St. Elmo's. Do not let this man in.
Okay. But anyway, like all kidding aside, you would not be a good GM. You'd be too hot takey. You make too many moves too quickly. You fall in love with guys too much, and you give up your whole draft class. Like, what jackassery is that?
I don't know. I mean, that's a big Jake Fromm guy a few years ago. That worked
Were
out pretty
really?
Well. Were you really? I mean, getting like third or fourth round. Don't be...
First overall
here,
pick, you know what? Hickey would trade up to 1 and draft Stetson Bennett.
You know, I was just going to say that name, too. I would not do that. I'd wait till the third round, okay? Come on, I'm sensible. Guy wins.
That's an interesting point, though, in what we were talking about. If you're a team now, and I don't think teams think this way, because then you are basically going to admit you stink the next year. And I don't think teams ever go into it, you're saying, like, oh, we're going to be horrible. We're picking the number one pick. Unless you're Stephen Ross, who was owning the Dolphins. If you are iffy on a quarterback this year, do you maybe say, oh, we'll get one next year for Caleb Williams, Drake May? But that's such a risky game. Because the way that we're talking about those guys now, maybe the same way that we're talking about them next year, but remember we were talking about Spencer Rattler? And he's still at South Carolina. So, or Sam Howell was supposed to be like a first-round pick. He ended up, what, going to the fifth round to the Commanders? So that's a risky game when you play that game.
I'm not a fan of a season-long tank. I don't think it works. Again, the Jets tried it a few years ago with Trevor Lawrence.
Got two.
You win two games. But it's like, still, you missed out. And guess what? They need to get Zach Wilson, and you lose. You're a loser in that game.
Well, the problem with the season-long tank, the GM and the owner can be tanking, but the coach and the coaches and the players, they don't tank. So they could disrupt your tank with something like, let's say, what the Texans did this year with the whole Lovie Smith situation, or you have a team like the Dolphins that win more games than you think. Those coaches and players still get paid, even if the owner and the GM want them to tank.
And if you do, you know, agree, if you're a coach with the tank, then you're probably suing the team, like Brian Flores.
We're still in agreement that Bryce Young should be the number one overall pick. Right now, 11 people went to the pro day today for the Panthers of C.J. Stroud. Alabama's pro day is tomorrow, so they'll go see Bryce Young. I don't know how many people they're sending over to Bryce Young. I would imagine the same that they're sending over to see C.J. Stroud that did see him today. Right now, I know we both think Young should be the number one overall pick. Who will be the number one overall pick, though?
Now, I reserve to change my answer tomorrow.
Yes.
Because I want to see how Josh McCown.
Bro, I'm the same person that said I had no interest
Bryce Young
in the World Baseball Classic yesterday, and I led the show today talking about how cool the World Baseball Classic was last night. You could change.
But you see how Josh McCown and even Frank Reich, to a certain extent, were so giddy being around C.J. Stroud. I mean, Josh McCown basically was basically to wrap his arms around him, pick up C.J. Stroud, and walk him to Charlotte and get him ready to go for the Panthers. If we don't see that same love for Bryce Young tomorrow and Josh McCown's not touching him and patting him on the back 500 times, I think we got our answer. It's going to be C.J. Stroud.
But is that a little bit of a show going on right now? And will it be even more of a show tomorrow to keep
people
guessing?
What's the
show?
Where
you have a team maybe like the Texans who really want Bryce Young over C.J. Stroud, and tomorrow it's more of a love fest and a slobber fest with Bryce Young, and then the Texans panic and go, oh, I'll give you a few extra picks and move up to one.
Like, if you're the Panthers, you made the move. I don't think at this point you're trying to recoup and say, okay, now we're going to, okay, part A is done. Part B, let's try to get the Texans out and get to number one. Yes.
I do too. I'm going based off the initial Joe Person report. I know recently it seems like momentum is shifting to it being Bryce Young. I do think Bryce Young is the better player. But what I think you're seeing now is an owner who wants Bryce Young, a coaching staff that clearly wants C.J. Stroud. The difference maker here could be Scott Fitterer. And who Scott Fitterer wants could be the tiebreaker if it's between Young and Stroud, or David Tepper could just say, I'm the owner of the team. You're going to draft who I want to draft, and that gets really ugly. But I think the coaching staff is going to win out here, and it's going to be C.J. Stroud. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We will get to 2023 Super Bowl contenders next. How many are there actually? We'll discuss.
Planning a wedding can be intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Indochino makes it easy to get a fully customized suit right from home. With dozens of high thread count fabrics, patterns, and colors to choose from, Indochino lets you fine-tune every detail and design a suit tailored perfectly to your body and your personality. Set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website and choose fabric and customizations without leaving the house. Or book a showroom appointment and let Indochino's dedicated style guides help you and your wedding party look flawless for the big day. Their experts have been dressing grooms and groomsmen since 2007. And with suits starting at just $4.99 and fitted shirts at $89, Indochino is bespoke without the premium price tag. Get a wedding suit as unique as you with Indochino. Go to Indochino.com and use code PODCAST to get 10% off any purchase of $3.99 or more. That's INDOCHINO.com, promo code PODCAST.